Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all the persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That will be our reading. We trust the Lord will bless it to us. A few days ago, in opening the scriptures, I spoke about patient endurance, and I looked at two separate scriptures in that regard. One being in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Remember, in chapter 10, you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And the example that came to us of that was found in chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured. It's the same word, endured the cross. Patient endurance, called that in the path of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the example. Then I looked at a second example, and that was in James. James chapter 1, the chapter on trial. And the example that came to us there was in chapter 5, you know, the patience of Job. And there it was patience in the trials of life. That was what I dealt with. I just mentioned them to you. Because now I want to look at patience again, because we've just had it mentioned a little while ago, the idea of enduring, of carrying on. And there are two other scriptures here that have it in a different sense from those first two. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it is patient endurance in the persecutions and tribulations that can surround one in life. And this was the Thessalonians themselves. Now, this idea of endurance is quite an important one for us, because there's great temptation to give up. There's great temptation to let things go. But to just keep on going, so we're hearing, let's go on. That's what we need to do. And I need to tell myself that. I love to hear that. Love to have that encouragement to keep on going, because we need it in the circumstances of life. The Thessalonians were particularly concerned about the persecutions they were suffering. Now, that happens in varying degrees. It must have been rather intense here in Thessalonica. Remember, Paul himself had been chased out of Thessalonica. He couldn't go back in. He says in the first epistle he wanted to come back. Satan hindered him. He really wanted to be there for those believers, but there was great tribulation. And he was concerned about how they were getting on in the midst of that. And the first epistle deals with that. He gets a report from Timothy. He's comforted by their faith and gives thanks to God and so on. And he's doing that again here in verse 3. We're bound to thank God always, because your faith grows exceedingly in the love of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. But he says, you know, as we move about among the churches, we can glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Isn't that a lovely thing for the apostle to be able to do? As he moves about, he's able to say, you know, those Thessalonian believers, we left them in the middle of great trouble. We left them in difficult circumstances. But do you know what? They're going on. They're patiently enduring in spite of all of that. That's a wonderful testimony and a wonderful thing to do and to be able to see in others. For all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. He says, we know that you're enduring. We hear that, but we glory in you because you're patiently enduring. You're going on for God. Now, they had questions about it, of course. Have we missed the coming of the Lord? What's gone wrong here? And he says to them, now look, in verse 5, it is a manifest token. Let me explain to you what's going on here. It's a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Oh, that's some statement, that is. What he's saying to them is this. Isn't it only right that you should expect to suffer for a kingdom that you're about to come into with all its wonder and its glory? Suffering for it is just a path to be expected. He says this is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. This is how God does things. And you're counted worthy. That's an interesting turn on it too. It's not just you've got to struggle through these difficulties to get to the kingdom. You have been counted worthy of the kingdom of God, and you're suffering for that along the way. But that's what the suffering is all about. If only we can see a positive side to what's happening in our lives. If only we understand it's leading somewhere. It's not just a struggle along the path of life that'll end up in death and that's the end of it. We have a higher view of things than that. And the things that come across our path in life counted worthy of the kingdom of God. And therefore the righteous judgment of God is that you be allowed to suffer for it as you move along that pathway. But he does give the other side of the coin as well when he says, now it is also, of course, true, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to those who trouble you. So don't feel as though it's going unnoticed. If you're suffering tribulation in the path of testimony, it's only right since you're going to inherit the kingdom that's at the end of it. But on the other hand, God is righteous as well to punish those ultimately who are causing that suffering. Then he brings to us that amazing presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. My, we're about to see something absolutely amazing. How is he going to come? With his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Pause there. The Lord Jesus is going to be revealed. The persecution, we know nothing of it, as the Thessalonians knew it, but let's keep this in mind and the difficulties and the problems across the path of life because you're a Christian, the things that people do because you're a Christian, God is going to respond to that. And it's going to be when the Lord Jesus is revealed. And look at how he's going to be revealed. From heaven, yes, that's where he's coming from. He says that to them in the first book. He's coming from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, and he's taking vengeance. You know what it all comes down to? Those who obey on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus will come and he will be revealed. Notice he's with his angels. He's coming in judgment. But what does the next verse say? Verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. That day, you know what's going to be? We're going to be with him. And we're worrying about the trifling sufferings along the pathway. We're complaining about the fact we have to suffer for the kingdom we're coming into. And yet when he comes forth, he's going to be admired in his saints. We're going to be with him. It sort of turns the tables, doesn't it? You begin to understand Paul, who talks about the light affliction and the heavy glory, the weight of glory. You know, you begin to see what he's talking about. He's got a right measure of things. Patient endurance. That's what we need in the circumstances where there are difficulties, persecutions in life. But there's just a few minutes. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And here it's not patient endurance in the persecutions and tribulations of life so much, although it's sort of involved, but this is particularly patient endurance when punished unfairly. That's a simple way of putting it. What does he say? Verse 20, what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults you shall take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Patient endurance. When you're punished unfairly. And where can the example best be found but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't this a lovely passage? He says here, for even hereunto were ye called. If we'd gone further down in 2 Thessalonians, again it would have been, this is your calling. You see, God has determined this is the kind of path that the Christian will follow. And it will happen that we are treated unfairly. That will happen because the world doesn't like the Lord Jesus Christ, John 15. And they won't have any time for those who do love him. But you see, here he says, even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Here is the example of how to endure patiently when you are unfairly punished or treated in any way. What does he say? Follow his steps. Follow his steps. Now, I love to think about this passage as the steps of the Lord Jesus when he was unfairly treated. What were his steps? First, he did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. The first step is not to be wrong. Got that? Punished unfairly? Yes, the first step is with the Lord Jesus, they came to him, they did all the things they did to him, but really, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. There was nothing they could find against him. Be like that in your life. Help each one of us to be like that. Not perfectly, we can't be like the Lord Jesus. But let them have nothing against us. That's the point. That's the first step. The second one, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Don't answer back in kind. You know, the world has its way. And people who oppose you have their way of speaking unkindly. Don't answer back in kind. What did the Lord Jesus do? When he reviled not again. There's no value in answering back. These are the steps of the Lord Jesus. He was right in himself. He didn't answer back in kind. When he suffered, he threatened not. No, nothing of that kind. No response like that. What did he do? Step three. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. You can't get better than that. He just handed the whole matter over to God. Him that judgeth righteously. Patient endurance, when wrongly punished, as we've put it, is found in following the simple and wholesome and powerful example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did no sin, though he didn't do anything wrong. When he was approached so cruelly, he gave no response in kind. He just handed the whole thing over to God. And you read the rest of the chapter, you see the wonderful outcome of taking that path away. May the Lord help us to patiently endure. In whatever the circumstances may be, there is a path. There is a path that we can follow. The Thessalonians were encouraged to follow with their eye on the future, the coming kingdom. In Peter, they were encouraged to follow by looking back at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had known exactly what that was all about, yet responded with that wonderful.